And John, one of the things we keep hearing is that Iraq as we know it, a united country with Shiites, Sunnis, and Kurds, is at risk of falling apart. Maybe already is. You spoke with Global Post reporter Susanna George about this today. She's in Erbil in northern Iraq. What did she tell you?
Well, she didn't use the word united very much, that's for sure. Susanna is in a dangerous no-man's land in north-central Iraq. Erbil, the city of Erbil, is under solid Kurdish control. But on the roads out of Erbil, she can get very close to the unstable and impenetrable approaches to the ISIS-held city of Mosul. And here is her account of the feeling of people fleeing for their lives.
I mean, I definitely say that the overwhelming feeling here is hopelessness. I think people are tired. And most people who I talk to here say that, you know, Iraq, as we know it as a single unified country, is a thing of the past. It just doesn't exist anymore. Especially in the Kurdish region, you're hearing for a lot of calls for Iraq to divide into three parts, a Sunni, a Shia, and a Kurdish part.
You know, one of the most remarkable quotes I heard this week was that the reason the Iraqi fighters, the Iraqi government and security forces put down their weapons and tore off their uniforms and left Mosul is because they felt they had nothing to fight for. Is that a commentary on the government of Nouri al-Maliki at this point? And is that a widely shared belief?
Yeah, you know, I think that that's a combination of a lot of different things. I think that there's a lot of disillusionment with Maliki as a leader, with his government, which a lot of Sunnis see as increasingly sectarian, a government that oppresses them. And then I think that also you do have a sense that people are not fighting for a single nation. They're not fighting for a homeland. That's one of the reasons when you talk to Kurds that they say their Peshmerga forces are so effective, because they actually have a real strong idea of a homeland that they're fighting to protect.
And that is not the case for the Sunnis, even though they generally describe their territory as being around Baghdad. And the Shia militias, at least, claim the south of the country. That's much less clear at this point, right?
Yes, though, interestingly, we did see a shift of a kind after we heard a call to arms by Shia leader Ayatollah Ali Sistani. After that call to arms, a lot of the Shia soldiers who I spoke to who deserted said that they now felt that they really had to get back out onto the battlefield. Now they actually had something to fight for because it became a religious duty for them. No longer, they weren't just fighting for their country, they were fighting for their religion.
Which also underscores the point that the government is not really involved here. It's become a sectarian battle, and the government has really been pushed aside. Let's hear from a woman who only wanted to be identified by her first name, Rhonda, someone you talked to who actually fled Baghdad because it's too tense in Baghdad, and you caught up with her near Erbil. Rhonda here.
You can say I hate them all. So I don't know. I don't know all of them. I don't care of them, actually.
She expressed what you hear a lot here in Iraq, that no one really feels like they have a leader that represents them, and people just have a complete lack of faith in this entire order that was installed after the 2003 invasion.
And there's not much faith in the United States. Here's Rhonda one more time.
I think Iraqi people need to solve that problem, not just in U.S. politicals, you know. Let's need to Iraqi politicals to solve this problem, because it's Iraqi matter, you know. That's not Sudanese, international matter.
It's an Iraqi matter, she says. It's not an international matter. That sounds to me like a prescription, though, for chaos in the near term, and that may even become long term, depending on what you're seeing on the ground there, Susanna.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you're definitely hearing a combination of, you know, frustration with the United States and with foreign intervention, not only from the U.S., but also from Iran. But at the same time, a complete lack of faith in the other options, the Iraqi options that are available to people, their government and their military, the institutions that are supposed to be protecting Iraq.
Anybody missing the days of Saddam Hussein? And does anyone have faith that Iran might actually be able to help at least the population in the south of the country?
I think that, you know, people are increasingly desperate. You do hear from some Iraqis that they just want someone to kind of step in and bring things under control. But it's hard to generalize with that. People, I think, are frustrated and tired, and they're just kind of looking for an end to the conflict.
Do they think that Iran is capable of ending this conflict? Is there any trust in the government of Iran, which, of course, has more power now than it's had in decades in the region?
Trust is not something that I'm hearing or picking up from people. I think after this kind of fantastic collapse of the Iraqi military in the north of the country, some people feel that if these al-Qaeda-inspired militants are going to be contained, pushed back from the capital, that someone is going to need to step in.
Susanna George, thank you very much. Reporting on the situation on the ground in Erbil, Susanna George files for the Global Post. Thanks, Susanna.
Thank you.